One night, Father was walking down the upstairs hallway of his house, and he heard his young daughter speaking in their bedroom. And he was baffled by it because he was pretty sure his daughter was all alone. And so he went up to his daughter's bedroom door and peeked in, and there was his daughter kneeling beside the bed in a posture of prayer. It brought a smile to the father's face and to his heart, and he decided he would eavesdrop a little bit. And there was his daughter kneeling by the side of the bed, and he became puzzled as he listened to her, for his daughter was saying A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and so on. His daughter was reciting the alphabet. And when she got to Z, she started over with A again, A, B, C. And she went over and over like that. Finally, the father's curiosity got the best of him, and he entered the room and interrupted his daughter and asked, "Honey, what are you doing?" And the daughter said, "Well, Daddy, I'm praying." And he said to the daughter, "Well, honey, why are you reciting the alphabet as part of your prayer?" And the daughter said, "Well, Daddy, I didn't know what to pray, so I just decided to pray the letters and let God arrange them into the right words." In the first scripture that Kim read this morning, Paul writes this, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought." Not a bad approach, I guess. Just pray the alphabet and let God rearrange all those letters into the proper words that need to be prayed that day. During this season of Lent, I thought that I would take a look in my sermons at some of the spiritual practices we associate with Lent. Lent, which is these 40 days leading up to Easter, has long been a time of spiritual renewal for Christians. It is a time for Christians to sharpen their spiritual axe, if you will. If I can extend that metaphor a bit, so that your spiritual tools will be sharp enough to chop down the troubles that life brings. One of those spiritual tools that often needs sharpening is prayer. And for many, Lent is the time to put some discipline back into one's prayer life. And for these people, this means setting aside some time during Lent, a regular time for prayer, like first thing in the morning or before going to bed, or some other time that is manageable. And so someone begins Lent and says, "I'm going to do this. Every morning when I get up, I'm going to pray for 15 minutes before I do anything else." And so they're ready to go. And then the second challenge for this person is finding a place to pray. Maybe you can't pray in the bedroom because your spouse is there getting ready. Maybe you can't pray down in the kitchen because the kids are getting breakfast. But you find somewhere to pray, maybe in a corner of the family room, and that's where your 15 minutes of prayer every morning are going to be. You're going to have that spot without any distractions. And then you get all ready to pray, and you bow your head and clasp your hands together, and then you realize you don't know what to pray about. And so sharpening that prayer axe, if you will, during Lent, often that becomes the most unmanageable part of it. You can find the time and you can find the place, but what exactly do you pray for? Author Lindsay Crittenden, in her autobiography, The Water Will Hold You, shares her journey through the death of her beloved younger brother and the grief that overwhelmed her. She sought therapy after her brother's death, but she found that therapy was not enough. And then one day, She walked down the street and into the office of the priest at the Episcopal Church that was only a block away from her home. Finding the priest in, she asked if she could talk to him for a while, and after a few minutes of small talk, she opened up to the priest about her grief and the emptiness that she felt. And the priest suggested she might try prayer, and Miss Crittenden immediately responded by saying, "I don't know how." To which the priest responded, "Yes, you do. Yes, you do." I find these bold words to be bold words said to a woman whom the grief was almost overwhelming. But the priest was right. Ms. Crittenden did know how to pray, just as we all do, for as Paul says in Romans, we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. These words ought to bring comfort and encouragement to all of us, really, especially those who have decided to make prayer a priority during this Lenten season. For Paul reminds us that even the best of Christians, and I would include Paul as one of the best of Christians, do not know always what to pray about and how to pray it. But that doesn't matter, Paul says, for we do not pray alone. We pray with the Holy Spirit kneeling next to us. And when we can't figure out how to pray or what to pray, the Spirit takes over for us, turning our sighs, our groans, and even our aches and pains in our bodies into prayer messages for God. You see, our job is not to figure out what to pray. It is to pray and then let the Spirit take over. Presbyterian author Frederick Buechner once wrote, "According to Jesus, by far the most important thing about praying is to keep at it." The images he uses to explain this are all rather comic, as though he thought it rather comic to have to explain it at all. He says, God is like a friend you go to borrow bread at midnight. The friend tells you, in effect, drop dead, but you keep on knocking anyway until he finds you to give you the bread just so he can go back to sleep. And God is like a crooked judge who refuses to hear the case of a certain poor widow, presumably because he knows there is nothing much in it for him. But she keeps on hounding him until finally he hears her case just to get her out of his hair. Even a stinker, Jesus says, won't give his own child a black eye when the child asks for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So how much more will God give his children? Jesus says, not one assumes because you have beat a path to God's door before he'll open it, but because until you beat a path, maybe there is no way of getting to your door. Prayer is not about saying the right thing or doing the right ritual. Prayer, as Buechner suggests, is about keeping at it, beating a path to God's door, not because God needs the path, but because we need the path. We can only discover God working in our lives when we clear the path between God and us. And to do that, we need to pray regularly. Ah, but you say, preacher, to quote Ms. Crittenden, I don't know how. When Ms. Crittenden made that excuse to the priest would not let her off the hook. Yes, you do, he said. And he was right. We all do know how to pray, but we may need some help getting started. The priest suggested to Ms. Crittenden a simple but powerful way to get started in prayer. He said to her, you might try, God, you are here. God, I am here. That was the suggestion of the priest. God, you are here. God, I am here. And that became the prayer for Ms. Crittenden. When she woke up the next morning, she simply said, you are here, I am here. And this was all her prayer was. And she went throughout her day, as she went throughout her day, she repeated that prayer. She later wrote, "As the day went on, my anxiety didn't vanish. I still had to get up and make my breakfast and force down a few slices of banana and a few spoonfuls of cream of wheat. I still had to drive to San Francisco to teach and drive back to Berkeley to clock hours proofreading classified ads at the East Bay Express. But if only for as long as it took to whisper the words, 'You are here,' I would forget about my tense jaw, about my cramping stomach, about my fidgeting hands, and the what-ifs of my imagination. As I went about my day, prayer felt like a new haircut, stopping me every time I caught a glimpse of myself. But soon I began to stumble into calm." I believe that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Just as Paul tells us, when we don't know how to pray as we ought, the Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. Lindsay Crittenden used just 8 words in her prayer. And the Spirit took those 8 words and conveyed to God all the fear, all the anxiety, all the sadness, all the grief that lay within her heart, and placed them at the foot of God. Behind Lindsay's words were the sighs that were too deep for even those words, the sighs of the Spirit of God. Prayer, Crittenden wrote to her uncle, is like writing. If I waited for inspiration, I would never write a word. I had to make prayer a habit to go to it the way I went each morning to the desk, not to summon prayer, but to tap into what was already there. To tap in what is already there. We think of prayer as something we have to put together. Ms. Crittenden, and I think Paul would agree, is that prayer is something that is already there. Buechner writes, "Jesus says, keeps on praying. Remember the sleepy friend, the crooked judge. Keep on beating a path to God's door, because the one thing you can be sure of is that down that path you beat, even your most half-cocked and halting prayer, the God you call upon will finally come. And even if he does not bring the answer you want, he will bring himself. And maybe at the secret heart of all our prayers, that is really what we are all praying for. Maybe this Lenten season is a good time to revitalize your own prayer life. God is here. You are here. What more can I say?